Our scripture today is from Psalm 42. Before we start this, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the songs today, for reminding us how much you love us, how much we need you, reminding us that we have opportunity to follow you each day of our life. We pray to you this day that we surrender our hearts, our minds, our spirits to you, that our ears and our eyes are open to see you during the reading of your word. Whatever it is that you desire of us is planted upon our hearts and blossoms in ways only you can imagine. We pray, Lord, also for your mercy to be upon the sermon, that it too might be used by you, for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 42, for the director of music, Amaskel, of the Sons of Korah. I don't know what that means, but there are commentaries on that if you want to read it. Psalm 42, verse 1. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to my God, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We'll get back to that picture here in a moment. You guys can see it, huh? Deep zone. Yeah. I'll show it to you here in a moment. Psalm 42 has been the inspiration of a hymn that many of you know and is relatively popular. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. It's well known, and when we sing this song, it's such a happy song. It's a song of desire. It's a song of hope. It's a song of joy. It's a song that we will be nourished. It's Joanne's looking for the number here. You find it yet? What in the first line it should be like? As the deer. If you go under the A's, as the deer. Yeah, as the deer. We're not going to sing. I mean, you can sing it if you want to. I'm not going to lead you in singing that song. You can't find it? All right, well, when one of you find it, shout it out. And then you can look at it. But the song itself, again, is a happy song. It's an enjoyable song. It's a song that when we sing, I picture in my mind, this. Beautiful lush forest with a stream running through it and a deer drinking that stream, you know. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. But when you break that down and you start thinking logically about that particular verse, as the deer pants for the water, our dogs pant for water. Do you know why my dogs pant for water? Because what? They're old? Is that what you said? That's exactly why. Because the bowl's empty. That's why my dogs pant for the water, because there's no water to be had. Although my dogs are also a little spoiled. They'll pant for it when there's a little piece of food in it, you know, or it looks dirty. They won't drink it then. But when they don't have something, that's when they end up panting for it. And so if you think about it, as the deer pants for the water, this actually should be where the deer is in the desert place, where there is no water. That's why the deer's panting. The deer wouldn't be panting if the deer was by the stream. The deer would be drinking and fulfilled. So the song and the psalm, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, it's sung and said by a place where they feel far from God. A strong desire for God that's not being fulfilled. It's why the panting and the longing. The desire for God is less of a forest setting and more of this kind of setting. Do you know what this is supposed to look like? It's a light at the end of a tunnel, what that is. And when you have the light at the end of the tunnel, what does that phrase mean? There's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope also means something else. You're dead. Yeah. Follow the light. You've heard that, right? Go towards the light. So it's one of those two things. But either of them aren't, you know, the places that we really want to be. Because the thing about the light at the end of the tunnel is that you're not in the light. You're in the dark. Dark is surrounding you on three sides. And the light is not right in front of you, overcoming the darkness. The light is off in a distance. Our psalm today, in Psalm 42, is said from that exact spot. The guy, the author, I'm sorry, a little gender issue there, you know, it may not be a guy. The author, male or female, the author is in a time of their life, not a good time. The darkness is closing in on all sides of them. They feel alone and afraid. They feel left out by God's love. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? They're alone. They don't feel as God is close at hand. My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? And this is the very same question that they're asking themselves. Where is my God? Lord, I need you. I want you. And I feel separated. I long and I cry. But my prayers aren't being answered. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, goes the author. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the mighty. What one with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. I remember when we were close. I remember when things were good. I remember when you were right there, when we were in the oasis together. I remember one of my oasis moments. I was 12 years old, and I was worshiping in the Portview United Methodist Church, and there was a band or a hymn, I don't remember, I think it was a youth event or something, and we were standing in the pews and the music was going, and you'll see how things have changed over the years. I was raising my hands and praising God. You'll never see me do this now. My hands don't get this high. It's not shoulder issues. My shoulders are fine for right now. It's just, you know, I'm a more here kind of praiser. But at 12 years old, I was a here praiser. And I was praising God and just so in God's presence. And I remember saying in that moment, Lord, whatever you want, take my entire life. I want to serve you with everything. That was an oasis moment. That was a great moment. I was close to God. God was close to me. A mountain moment, if you will. And it was fantastic. It didn't last. Life is mountains and valleys. It's oasis and deserts. And there have been many other times in my life where I was, Lord, where'd you go? Where did I go? I feel lost. I don't know if this is the road you wanted me to walk down, but I did, and I don't recognize anything. And I, in those moments where I felt lost and alone and out of God's favor, my heart still continually longed for God. My heart still desired to be in God's presence. I understand that I wasn't where I should be, but I knew that God was still there. It was an intellectual knowledge more than it was a heart knowledge, because I felt alone, but I still remember what Scripture said. God will never leave nor forsake us. It was difficult to believe because of circumstances of my life. But like this author, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Yet praise Him being a future desire, but it will happen at some point. Just got to keep walking the walk that God gave us. Our scripture goes on. Again, this longing that the author desires for God, remembering the good times. And verse 7 is such a great verse because it can remind us of those times where God touches us in the deep places. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. Deep call to deep when I was standing on top of Jumonville in the cross, with the cross behind me, seeing a hawk fly across the sky. That the deepness and the love for God as seen in creation was able to touch my heart, bypass my anxieties, bypass my depressions, bypass my doubts, bypass my low self-esteem, and go to the very deep in the middle of who I am. And I can remember once again, even all those barriers that are set up in my life, that I belong to God and that God belongs to me. Again, mountains and valleys, it doesn't always last, but God reminds us at times that God is indeed with us. By day, the Lord directs His love, and at night, the song is with me. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemies? And then in verse 11, why, my soul, are you downcast? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. This scripture comes to us from the devotion, Lenten devotion that I had passed out. If you haven't got a copy yet, there's more copies in the back. And this is the scripture for today. We find ourselves in the first Sunday of Lent. Lent is a time that is often spiritually dark. It's a time where we remember our shortcomings and our downfalls. It's a time where we sift through our mistakes. It's a time where we try to look at ourselves with both eyes open, not seeing just the bad, but the good too, but not dwelling on either, just taking it all in. And sometimes, as the saying goes, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. We remember more so our shortcomings, our lackings. And yet, much like this scripture, though we find ourselves in the dark place, we know, sometimes it's a head knowledge, sometimes it's a heart knowledge, but we know that God is indeed with us. There's a popular marital advice that's been around for, I don't know, long time. And it's when you feel you don't love your spouse anymore. It doesn't have to be for marriage either. It's just for life. You don't feel like you love someone anymore, you should still love them. And of course, there's two different uses of love are different, I don't even know what they're called. One's an adjective, the other's a verb. That you can feel love as an adjective. Love, person, that person's lovely, adjective, or a noun. But then you got your verb and the act of doing it. Sometimes God calls us to love one another, or all the time God calls us to love another, but we don't feel that way towards that person, but God tells us to do it anyway. Because maybe, even in the doing, if we don't feel the action itself, maybe we could come to the place where then the noun exists. We can love in some way that God has showed us. It may not be the way it was, but it could be in some way. John Wesley had another similar instance in his life, and what that instance was is that he was a preacher that went to Georgia as a missionary trip, you know, from England, and it was a disaster in his mind, and he came back and was feeling super depressed and super bad and super awful, and he wondered if God was with him at all, and he found a mentor, and he went to the mentor, told him all this stuff, and he said, I'm not even saved, John Wesley said this. I'm not even saved. Said, I'm a child of Satan. He used some really strong language for himself. And the guy, the mentor of his, said, preach salvation every day. Even if you don't feel like you have it, preach salvation every day. And then when you get it, preach it still. This man feels lost, alone, and afraid. He feels by himself, this author. He feels by himself, and he doesn't know the darkness is coming in on three sides. But that's the thing, isn't it? The darkness is coming in on only three sides. There is light for him to look. There is a path for him to take. All he needs to do in the midst of the darkness is to walk towards the light. Is to be comforted by the hope that Christ is still there leading and guiding his way, though he's almost surrounded by the darkness. With Christ, no matter how much we feel like we're in the desert, there will always be an oasis where we can see it. No matter how much we feel like we're in the dark, there will always be a light to guide us in the right way. We're never without hope. Even if we feel that we are lost, I pray that we remember the promises that Christ walks with us still. Close with this benediction today. From Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.